Well, my favourite Bible verse is 1 Peter 5, verse 7, which says this: cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And maybe it's a favourite of yours, because it really is special, isn't it? It tells us how God is ready to listen to us. In fact, calls us to ask for his help in everything because he cares so much for us. And so we can trust him to take care of us. And that helps us with a picture of what prayer is. We've seen last week that prayer is about talking to God as our Father, and that we can pray to God as our Father, as a child of God, if we've asked the Lord Jesus to save us, because he, God's Son, came into the world to die, to pay the penalty for our sins, so that we, though we were cut off from God and under his wrath and judgment, can be forgiven and made his child and given that access to him. And so then our Heavenly Father is ready, waiting for us as we come to him in prayer with his arms wide open to embrace us. And we can ask for his help. And so this picture of prayer is of us coming to him as our Father, and that we can pour out our cares and concerns to him. Isn't that wonderful? That God, even though he's the God of the entire universe, he's thinking about us, and we can ask him for help in our need. And that's our theme this morning. It's thinking about being a son or a daughter sitting on one's father's lap, coming to our father and asking him for help in all that we need. So that's what we're thinking about this morning then, depending on God for everything. Prayer is about depending on God. It's enjoying that relationship with him and then just saying, God, I need you. Prayer is depending on God for everything. Now, let's have a think about what that means, because as we grow up, as we go from childhood to adulthood, it's all about becoming more independent, isn't it? And so as we're growing up, remember when you were a child, you have ambitions and things that you wanted to be able to start doing for yourself. Now, when I was younger, I loved my bike, and so I'd be cycling around the village on my bike. So I'd be about Bethany and James's age, and I'd be cycling around, but I'd love to be able to drive. That was my ambition. I wanted to be able to drive, to be able to go further, and to be able to enjoy a bit more freedom, to become more independent, rather than having to say to Mum and Dad, can I have a lift here, and can I have a lift there? And sometimes they wouldn't be able to take me, so I wouldn't be able to go there, that sort of thing. So I longed to be able to not just ride my bike, but I wanted to drive a car, become more independent. And that's what we do, isn't it, when growing up, as we go from childhood to adulthood, we want to become more independent. But with God, in a sense, it's the other way around. Actually, growing as a Christian means relying more on God and realizing how much we need God. That without God's help, we can't manage. So as we grow in faith, actually we'll become more dependent on God. And as we read through the Lord's Prayer, do you notice the kinds of things which Jesus is talking about praying for here? They're down to the very most basic things, aren't they? Our daily bread, even. It's very basic. We're to be depending on God for everything. Now, growing from childhood to adulthood to become more independent isn't contrary to growing in faith with God. The two can work at the same time, can't they? Because you can become more independent as you step out and not be so reliant on parents, while at the same time recognizing that I can only become independent with God's help. So you can, yes, have this ambition to say, right, I want to be able to do this on my own. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to step up and do these things, while still recognizing the only way I can do that is with God's help. And that's how the two come together, isn't it? We're wanting to be independent, standing on our own two feet, as it were, physically, not on others, but still relying on God. And in fact, realizing all the more as we grow in faith, quite how much we need God. So, the more we grow in faith, the more we'll be praying for them. Okay, the more we realize. Now, let's have a think about why that is. Okay, because I made some statements, haven't I, about the more we grow in faith, the more we'll realize we need him, even in the most basic things. So why is that? So we've got a couple of points. And our first one is this, that God is the source of all things. God is the source of all good things. And so we need to pray about all things because God is the source of all good things. Now, there's several verses which we could turn to for this. I've got a few. Psalm 147 is a good place to start. Psalm 147. If you'd like to look at that, but Psalm 147 on page 632, and I'll read verses 8 to 14. And notice how these verses describe what God does, how God is the one who's behind the provision of all good things. So Psalm 147, verse 8. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. As we're looking forward to harvest, I mean, these are harvest kind of verses, aren't they? But it's describing the whole of creation about how God is the one who's behind all things, providing. Now, yes, science shows how things work, shows the way that things are working, and that this causes this and this, that, the other. But they don't show what's behind it all. They don't show that actually God is the one who is the cause, the sustainer, the one who keeps everything working so that these things can happen, and the one who actually intervenes miraculously in the world as well. His unseen hand is the one who's providing. He is the ultimate source of all that is good. And so the psalmist really can write in a very true sense, the rain comes from God, his provision. The food comes from him. We've got food in our cupboards because God is the one who's provided. Also, let's think about Acts chapter 17, verse 25. I'll read it out so you don't have to turn to it if you don't want to, but if you do want to, Acts 17, verse 25. In fact, you may well know this off by heart. Acts 17, verse 25 says this, "And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, and here's the key bit, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." Do you notice how that verse covers everything in life, doesn't it? He himself, that's God, gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Let's stop to think about that. Because that covers everything, doesn't it? And it's so easy to underestimate how much we depend on God. You see, all things come from God. Every breath we breathe is only possible because God has given it. We're only able to carry on living for a second longer because God has granted it. So we can make plans for the summer holidays, and we can make plans for maybe what we're going to do later in the year and then next year. But do you know what? None of those are going to come about unless God himself provides. In fact, we're not going to last another second unless God provides for us to be able to keep living. We're so dependent on him. That's why we need to be relying on him in prayer. And the more we realize that, the more we'll rely on him. If it wasn't for him, nothing would be possible. Nothing would be given us. We wouldn't have anything. In fact, we wouldn't exist if it wasn't for God sustaining us. We are totally dependent on him. So since we need him for everything, Jesus is saying in the Lord's Prayer, we need to pray about everything, even down to the most basic things of bread. And do you know what? As I've gone through life meeting various Christians over the years, do you know what the most godly Christians are like in prayer? Do you know what they're like? They're the most prayerful. They're the ones who are praying about every situation they come across during the day. And they're a godly example to us. Now that's something we all need to learn, isn't it? And grow in, to realize that we need to be prayerful about everything. Because I don't know about you, but it's easy, isn't it, to not pray when we ought to. It's easy to skip prayer, isn't it, for maybe a day, maybe two. Maybe it's because we don't have enough time. I haven't got enough time. I've got to rush out. I've got to get to this, that, the other. And before we know it, the day's gone. We've gone to bed and wake up the next morning thinking, I didn't pray. Or maybe we think that we'll be okay on our own. I've got all these things to do. Right, I know what I'm doing. Let's get off and do it. Maybe those are the reasons why we don't always pray, maybe. And so we attempt things without asking God for his help. And the trouble is then, what we're doing is that we're starting to live life as though we don't need God. It's as though we can manage on our own. And that's idolizing ourselves, isn't it? That's idolatry. And so what Jesus is calling us to do in the Lord's Prayer is to come back to recognize that we are totally dependent on God, our Father, and to ask him. Not to just keep thinking we'll be all right on our own, but to ask him for all things. See, although God may allow us to manage on our own for a bit, he is able to withdraw things, withdraw blessings, to call us to come back to rely on him again. We are dependent on him. And so we're to rely on him. Another way that we can miss praying to God about things is, you know how maybe you can have a stressful day and we can be so focused on maybe the things which are stressing us out and we can forget to pray. And so imagine somebody who's so stressed out about things and they take a moment to just tell a friend, oh, my day's awful, I've got so much stuff to do, I don't know how many things I've got to do, I've just got to try and get on it. And maybe this person, before they know it, they're saying, well, fingers crossed I'll be able to do it all. Or touch wood, I'll be able to do all this stuff. But that's not trusting in God, is it? That's trusting in superstition. There's a danger, isn't there, of trusting in other things rather than God. So we need to come back to praying about things, prayerfully dependent on God for all things. So that's why it's not a good thing to say as a Christian, cross fingers, everything will be all right. No, we're trusting God. And not to say touch wood, because no, actually, that's superstition, isn't it? That's not trusting God. We need to be prayerful about things, asking for his help. Or, and I've done this one as well, I don't know about you, but maybe you're running late and you're driving the car and there's a red light. Maybe it's one of those temporary traffic lights and they seem to be taking an age because it's a really long stretch of road with the traffic lights and you're running late and you're just looking at the light saying, come on, turn green, turn green, turn green. And before you know it, you realize you're talking to a green light, asking it to change. Whereas really we need to be praying to God, shouldn't we? Praying to a traffic light rather than asking God for help. We need to be prayerful to God, recognizing that all things come from him. We need him and his help, not relying on anything else and not ourselves. So we need to be careful to rely on God. Otherwise, what are we relying on? Another reason for not praying, though, is this. And someone might say, well, look, I do depend on God. I do trust he'll provide. But I just have faith that just God's just going to give it anyway. I don't really need to pray about it. I've lived enough days where God has just given me things. So do I really need to pray about it? Just because I'm not praying about it doesn't mean I'm not trusting God for it. But you see, the Lord Jesus instructs us to pray, doesn't he? He still instructs us to ask. So we're not given that option of just saying, well, I'll just let God give and just leave it at that. No, we're to ask. And that's really important, that action of asking, because speaking to God to ask him is an act of faith, isn't it? It's an action we take to say, I need to receive from God, so I need to go and ask him. And maybe you remember that as a child being taught by grown-ups, you need to go and ask. Don't just assume that things are going to be given to you. Go and ask. Yes, by kindness, people will still give things to provide for you, but you need to go and ask. You need to go and rely. That step of asking is us taking our eyes off everything else and fixing our eyes on God and saying, God, I need you. The act of asking is important. The act of asking is our faith being exercised rather than just it being talked about. The act of asking is important because it's us taking that step of faith and saying, okay, I'm actually going to rely on God. I'm actually going to do this. And remember, God's word says that God responds to prayer. Remember what Jesus said about ask and it shall be given to you? And James chapter 4 verse 2 talks about how you do not have because you do not ask. In other words, asking really is important. God responds to asking and actually withholds when one doesn't ask. Not always. God is gracious and generous still to provide it in his goodness. But he is able to withhold because asking is important. It's that action of faith to ask for something. So praying about it is important. Well, let's make this practical then. And on your chairs, or was given to you some pieces of paper this morning. One is a question slip. Do write down any questions that you've got about prayer, because as we go through this series on prayer, it'd be great if you could be asking questions, your own questions about what you have on prayer. Pop them in the question box at the back of the chapel there, and I'll see what I can do to give some instruction and answers to that. Don't worry, I'll treat it anonymously, so that we can have a think about questions you've got. But the other piece of paper you've got there is a prayer diary. And it's good, isn't it, to make sure we plan what we pray, to make sure that we are praying through every area of our lives, so that we can make a list of things we want to pray about every day, and things then that we want to pray maybe during the week on different days, so that we're covering each area of our life. Because we recognize this, that if God is in control of everything, God is the one who's a provider of all good things, and we need him to provide for us, then let's think about each area of our lives and pray about it. And let's make a list so that we're constantly going through each area of our life through the week. Not necessarily praying about every area of our life every day, but maybe a different thing each day, so that we're bringing it before God, asking him for help. So, for example, you might want to think about if you're working, you might want to say, well, let's pray about my work. Let's pray about the tasks that I've got. Let's pray about my relationships with my work colleagues. Let's pray for my work colleagues. So let's list that. And then you might want to pray about your family and your relationships with your family members and for them themselves and their needs. And then also then you might want to move on to your neighbours in your street. Let's list them and let's pray for them. Let's pray for us being able to be a blessing to them, that sort of thing. Let's pray through each area of our lives so that we can be prayerfully dependent on God for each thing. Now, later in the series, we're going to be thinking about what we can pray. Okay, so that'll come a bit later in the series. But let's make plans to be thinking through every area of our lives so that we can bring it before God. Our relationships, our situations, our needs. Let's pray about these things. And I trust also that you're getting a copy of the church prayer diary. In fact, I know these are given out and you use them well. And that's really good, isn't it? That you're able to include that in your praying too. So I'm really grateful to God that you do use those. And that it really is a blessing to the church that we can pray to one another like that. So practically speaking then, let's use a prayer diary where we can list things so we can pray through all the matters of our lives, saying, God, I need you in everything. But not only praying at home, maybe on our own is important, or maybe in a quiet place if you go out for a walk or at work, but it's also good to be praying to God throughout the day. And that's why we read from Nehemiah chapter 1 earlier. Nehemiah was in a situation where he came across a tricky time. He needed to have the right words to say to King Artaxerxes. And he needed to be able to have wisdom from God to make sure he asked for the right thing. And so there in that moment, did you notice when he was there before the king who, by the way, could send him off to be executed, as he was there before the king, he prayed on the spot, didn't he? As he came across a situation of need, he prayed about it there and then. And that's good for us to remember too, isn't it? We pray maybe at the beginning of the day for the day ahead, or if it's your habit and you pray at the end of the day, maybe for the coming day. But remember to pray throughout the day. Keep prayerful so that as every situation you come across, the new situation, new circumstances, you can pray about it and ask for God's help. So we pray about everything depending on God for everything because he's the source of all good things. And it's us saying, God, I need you. I need you. Growing faith is about becoming more dependent on him as we realize that. But secondly, and this is our last point, we pray about everything because God is infinitely powerful. God is infinitely powerful. I wonder what you're wanting to pray for. I wonder, do we ever doubt whether God is able to do it? Maybe you've never thought that. That's fine because you're encouraged maybe by God's word. But whenever we do doubt that, maybe we wonder actually, can I really bring this to God? Is it just too big? When you think about somebody that you're praying for to be saved, when you think about maybe a big global situation, maybe a war that is affecting so many different parts of the world, can we pray about that and know that God is able to handle it? Well, God's word says yes. We can depend on him even in the biggest things because he is infinitely powerful. He's able to. And so that's wonderful, isn't it? Coming to our Heavenly Father, knowing that he can do it. He really can. It's worth coming to pray to God because he's able. So I can't pray about anything that he doesn't have the power to do in terms of strength and might. There are some things God cannot do in sense of sin and doing wrong things, but in terms of power and might, God is able to do anything because he is infinite. So take heart. Nothing is too hard for him. And in Scripture, we see that again and again as God gives promises about his power to encourage us to pray. So, for example, in evenings, we're in 2 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 tells us this about God's power to be able to save even the hardest of sinners. It says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." In other words, Paul's saying this, God save me. Paul, who was so against the church, he was so hostile and didn't want to know Jesus and wanted to kill Christians, he said, God save me. That was an amazing power. And Paul says that same power is the power that spoke and there was light, that now sends rays of sunshine down onto us and brightens the face of the earth. That mighty power is the same power at work, Paul said, in my life, and is in the same power at work that can save others too. So when we pray, we can be encouraged that God is the God of all creation, and that because he made everything, he's able to do anything. He's able to do the greatest things. And when we sang earlier, didn't we, in the beginning of the service, who has held the oceans in his hands? That's coming from Isaiah 40. And the whole of the chapter Isaiah 40 is telling us all about the great, amazing things that God has done, that he's able to weigh the mountains, as it were, in his hands. He's able to know everything just like that without being taught it. God is all-powerful. And do you know why Isaiah was telling them all that? Do you know why he was preaching that to the people while they were in exile? It was to encourage them that God could rescue them. It was to encourage them that God is mighty and powerful to save. In other words, whenever God calls us to put our faith in him, he reminds us about how great he is. Think about that in Jesus' life. To encourage the people to put his trust in him, he fed 5,000. To encourage people to trust in him to be able to give eternal life, he raised Lazarus. To encourage his disciples that they didn't need to worry in a storm, he calmed the storm. Whenever God calls us to put our faith in him, he reminds us about how great he is. And so remember that, believer, when you come to pray, God can do the most mighty things because his power is infinite. So when we pray, we might be thinking, I don't know whether God can do this, but we can take heart. God can. God is able to. Contrast that with the hopelessness of atheism, where there's not even the belief in anybody out there, let alone the belief that somebody can change things and make a difference in lives to change the course of the way that things are going. It's such a sad thought, isn't it, to think that God wouldn't be there and that the things we're going through in life can't change because there's nobody who can intervene? Well, the thought of the Christian is the complete opposite. There is total hopefulness because God really can intervene and change situations. God can heal. God can save. God can rescue. God is mighty. So that's to encourage us to pray. We're able to be dependent on him in everything because he's powerful. We know it's worth bringing it to him because he really can do something about it. Now, we'll think later on in the series about answers to prayer. And we need to remember that God doesn't always give us everything we ask for because God, he knows what is ultimately best and may have something different in his plan. But God does respond to prayer, and where it is right and best for us, God will give it. And he's able to do that in even the biggest things. And we should take heart when we see answers to prayer and remember that, because it shows us that God is mighty and powerful. Special, isn't it, when we see God working in somebody's life and say, wow, God's really done a wonderful work here. Well, remember that, because God is powerful and active today. So we're encouraged in Scripture to come and ask God in our need. Coming to him as our loving Heavenly Father, but not just somebody who's just got a hug to comfort us, as it were, spiritually speaking, but somebody who's also able to do something as well. And somebody who we need to depend on for everything, because we are frail. We are weary in ourselves. We don't have the strength. But he is able to provide. So come before him. Make plans to do that. Come regularly before him and come knowing that he calls us to cast all our cares on him, for he cares for us. Amen.